Climate change isn't just a scientific or political issue. It's an emotional one as well. As the realities of a warming planet become harder to ignore, more people are grappling with feelings of fear, grief, guilt, and helplessness. According to a 2024 Climate Council YouGov poll, 78% of Australians are very worried about climate change and severe weather events, with another 49% of Australians say they're very or fairly worried about the issue. And it's not just about worrying, it's what psychologists are now calling climate anxiety. Razor's Edge reporter Thomas Kutis spoke to Dr. Sarah Quinn, president of the Australian Psychological Society, asking her the definition of climate anxiety and how different it is from general concern.
Very interesting question, and I love that we're even talking about it, because climate anxiety has been really intensifying in Australia, and we know that with people experiencing stress and sadness and anger and guilt and a sense of powerlessness and worry about the future, we are seeing a rising in the experience of what anxiety might be. Now, it's not an official diagnosable condition, but we do know that this anxiety is a very real experience for individuals in our community. So our psychologists on the ground are reporting it's one of the main concerns, that once in a while it used to come into our clinical rooms, but now it's far more frequent. It's reported on a very regular basis by nearly every one of our clients.
Are you seeing this more in younger people or adults, older adults?
Again, that's a really interesting question too, that there are no specific demographic constraints on those people who can feel this sense of anxiety around the climate and around the potential for natural disaster to occur. We do know that through research that actually does suggest that young people are especially impacted by it. They're worrying about the effects of climate change now, and they will likely continue to face these concerns throughout their lives. And they're also at this developmental stage where they're still developing what's important to them, their values, their ethics and their personal beliefs, and their awareness and knowledge about these global issues. So we know that they're particularly at risk for experiencing climate anxiety.
What kinds of emotional responses have psychologists seen that people typically experience when confronted with the climate change realities? What have they seen?
Yeah, I think there's a huge variety in what we are seeing, depending on whether or not a person has that direct or indirect experience of the impact of climate change over time. Disaster events themselves can cause significant short-term mental health issues, but many people who directly experience a natural disaster also have serious and long-lasting effects on their mental health, and that can include things like post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and for many, a level of substance abuse as well. And these effects can be particularly pronounced in more vulnerable populations, such as children and older people, and those who already have pre-existing mental health conditions. So it's a wide variety of experiences that that individuals can seek help for, but we are seeing that these conditions are things that people are more readily describing, whether or not it is indirect and or direct experience with those events.
And so what coping strategies are recommended for individuals who are feeling very, you know, overwhelmed or very shocked, very sad by the news about climate change and the activism sort of fatigue of it all?
I love that you've gone straight through, Thomas, there from, you know, acknowledging the real challenges of this, but also I really love that we're actually starting to talk about what you can do about it, because we know that climate anxiety is real, but it actually is very manageable. We know that research shows that it comes from a level of uncertainty and that feeling of powerlessness. So strategies that focus on what it is that we can control, like those daily actions and limiting our exposure to distressing news, can help reduce that stress. So we know that when we talk to people about strategies that can increase their agency by focusing on what can be controlled alongside some of those anxiety reduction techniques. These are the most effective strategies that psychologists have for assisting individuals in reframing some of those climate worries. Even we can be in a position where we can reframe some of those worries as strengths and support some small, meaningful, pro-environmental actions to actually reduce distress. And we know that especially for parents of these young children that might experience this, role modelling those sustainable behaviours at home can reinforce this effect for our young people.
As somebody in the media, I've noticed something, and it's something that concerns me, that the media kind of, when the media reports climate change, it reports it in a way that makes people feel very vulnerable and very overwhelmed and stressed. Now, how can media like the television news, radio and podcasts sort of help people process these emotions to climate change in a very healthy way?
Great question. Thanks, Thomas. And if you could share this with everybody listening and with those that you work with, I'd be grateful. I think that that the way we speak about these concerns makes a difference. And for some clients, we would actually recommend that reducing some of that exposure to some of the media might actually be quite helpful in reducing some of the distress attached to their experience. And really, I think the way that we talk about it needs to be very realistic. We need to be able to validate people's concerns rather than dismissing them. We know that that fosters resilience in individuals and in community, and we need to be able to talk about these things to reduce the stigma attached to this experience, because it's a very real experience for very many people in our community. But we then need to be able to guide them towards constructive environmental action that really does enhance their own capacity to hope. So whilst we might want to set limits on distressing media exposure, because that protects against anxiety and helplessness, we want to be able to really reinforce that we all can play a part. These small steps matter. So even simple actions like being able to sign up to a cause that you know that will make a difference. So for some people, and for some children and older individuals, it can be simple actions like gardening, picking up rubbish in our local communities, or using public transport. We know that that can improve mental health by benefiting the environment. So those pro-environmental behaviours can strengthen wellbeing. So being able to attach those little tidbits at the end of the reporting is really important. Also, knowing that we can model that hope. So we all have a role in that, because this is not just about the planet, it's about people's mental health right now. And we know that climate change is already affecting Australians' mental health. So we're seeing it so much more frequently in our consulting rooms.
Going back to the topic about validation, how do you navigate the tension between validating someone's fears to encouraging hope or resilience among individuals?
I think it's about being realistic. And I think as soon as if we validate, we're not going to make the situation worse. We effectively, what we're doing is we're ensuring that the information that we're hearing is accurate, and we're acknowledging the distress attached to that. So we can acknowledge distress, and by acknowledging distress, you're not going to make it worse. And we want to really dispel that myth. What is important is that we do gently and carefully reorient somebody that we care about, if they're talking about this, through to something that might be more hopeful and helpful for them. So if it is that they are caught in a spiral of this negative news pattern, then perhaps we can slowly move them to understand that distress, but then think about what they could do for themselves to not only ease that distress, but to engage with the world around them in a way that's going to be beneficial and consistent with who they are and what they want this world to look like for themselves. So we know that green space and blue space, the way that we refer to it in some of the media, is what we would call medicine. So spending time outdoors, whether that might be in a park, out the back, in their own garden, we know that that in itself can lower anxiety and improve mood. So we would often call that, you know, nature as therapy is a really important thing to think of. So whilst you're having those really difficult conversations with someone you care about, maybe even take them outside and do so outside. I think that's a way that we can model hope. I think that parents in particular have a really important role in that for their children, modelling those sustainable habits can allow children to cope better. And it's backed by the research when we know the importance of feeling like you can do something about it makes a real difference. So great question. Thank you.
And so will this be the step to building a sustainable, calm environment where we can sort of manage these emotions when thinking about climate change?
I think we need to acknowledge the real concerns that we are experiencing, and as soon as we avoid it, effectively when we avoid something, it can make it bigger. So yes, by actually talking about the worries that we have with one another, someone that we can trust, and if you don't have that person in your life, then we have a whole range of psychologists out there at the ready. They're in our schools, they're in our workplaces, they're around the corner in our practices. We are there and available to help if somebody doesn't have someone to talk to about this right now. We need to be able to talk about our concerns, to be able to air them out with someone we can trust, and then to be able to slowly move towards a level of understanding of what it is that we can do in this situation to make a difference.
Dr. Sarah Quinn, thank you.
It's my pleasure, Thomas. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Sarah Quinn, President of the Australian Psychological Society, speaking with Racers Edge reporter Thomas Kutis and ending that report.